Hello, I'm Joe Cordell of the domestic litigation firm Cordell & Cordell. At Cordell & Cordell, we encourage our clients to participate, to recognize how essential their role in this process is. They've got to be willing to help us help them. And by working jointly in a sort of partnership, we're more likely to get the best possible outcome for our clients. And that's really the standard that our clients can fairly hold us to, is what is the best possible outcome for them. So clients who are facing divorce need to recognize that for them to succeed, they need a partnership between them and their attorney.
The attorneys at Cordell & Cordell work to help men maximize their role in their children's lives. Contact the domestic litigation firm of Cordell & Cordell to schedule an appointment with one of our firm's San Francisco area attorneys, a partner men can count on. 650-389-1111. Online at CordellCordell.com. That's CordellCordell.com. Offices in San Francisco, San Mateo, and San Jose. Se habla español. Legal services available in English and Spanish. Kimberly Llewellyn, licensed in California.
This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
You're listening to Starfile, where we stay on the pulse with what's brewing in the fashion industry. I'm Adeline Chung. And in the studio with me this week is renowned fashion designer Sarah Jamaluddin of the label Sarah J.
I actually saw how they did it. It was really hard, difficult, intricate, and everything else you can say.
And that is why it's expensive, right?
You can only go up to 4 inches a day.
Mm.
And to finish 4 meters, it takes you a month at least for one fabric, like 4 meters. So that's why it's expensive, like a few thousands for one.
And after that, Emma Chung Johnston, managing editor of Elle Malaysia, takes us through an eye-catching, embellishing fall trend, statement earrings.
They look the best, but they don't really match. You know, if you specifically try and match your earrings to your outfit, it can look a bit too coordinated. It can look a bit too twee.
First up is our style maker for this week, Sarah Jamaluddin. The road to international success is never easy, and Sarah Jamaluddin is no stranger to the rough and bumpy path. At the beginning, she thought she didn't have what it takes to make it in the industry. However, as fate would have it, she slowly found love and passion in the art and began to consistently build her brand, Sarah J, to reach recognition on a global scale. Since launching at the Manila Fashion Week in 2014 to great acclaim, Sarah has participated in various fashion shows both locally and internationally, most notably the Muslim Fashion Festival in Jakarta. Today, her label represents the headstrong woman who would do anything for what she believes in. Recently, she has achieved her greatest feat yet by blowing away the crowd at the Couture Fashion Week in none other than New York City, where she showcased a modernized collection highlighting the traditional songkit fabrics of Malaysia. In the studio today, I'm joined by Sarah Jamaluddin as she tells us about her long and inspiring journey to where she is today. Now, Sarah, I know you've just recently returned from the Big Apple itself, the New York City of Couture Fashion Week. Now, congratulations on that. Tell us more about your experience in New York.
Experience in New York is absolutely fabulous because you don't get it. It's different. It's a lot more exposure, and the people that take it differently and really appreciate your artwork.
Do you say that the people in New York are more open-minded compared to the crowd here?
Open-minded because they're exposed to all this, you know, since Asia. So when you really bring something different, they really admire your work and they really like your work, and they came to me and like, oh, I really like your fabrics, your designs and stuff like that. I feel like so overwhelmed by that.
Now let's talk about yourself. Tell me about yourself. What started your love for fashion design?
I didn't like fashion in the first place.
What?
Yeah, I was from pure science student. I wanted to be a lawyer. So, and then what happened was my mother made me do this.
Mm-hmm.
And then she actually forced me to do fashion because she has a boutique initially. So,
oh.
Yeah. So, I rebelled. I ran away from home. for 3 months. And then she said, okay, fine, you want to run away, run away. And then, you know, finance yourself. So I came back.
You ran away.
From real? From home. And then, because I wanted to do law so badly. And then I came back because I got no money, of course. I didn't know how to survive on my own. I was, 18? And then I came back and I had no choice. I have to do fashion in UiTM. And then after I graduated, I was still bumming around until there is a turning point of my life. I was partying, I was this, I was that, until there is a turning point of my life where I was supposed to get engaged. And I was really frustrated, disappointed and everything else. So I made a decision to really focus on my life. That's when it all started, like, really started.
Now, I know you started your label, Sarah Jamaluddin, in 2011, but you only debuted your first collection under Sarah J in 2014. Now, why did it take like 3 years?
Because actually 2011, I graduated. So I was, the period that I said I'm bumming around, bumming around during that 3 years, on and off, like not taking it seriously until I fell on my knees, and that's when I started.
You've also showcased your big debut collection out at Manila Fashion Week 2014, right?
Yes.
So how did that come about?
I was in this association, Bumiputra Designers Association. They took me there for the Manila Fashion Week, and then I participated there. And it was a, like, I have to say, big step for me because it was my first time participating in a fashion show, but like overseas. So that's how I started, actually.
What was the collection about?
It was like a glittery midnight blue glamorous collection, because it was my first time, so I wanted it to be like glamorous,
like wow, bam, right?
Yeah, bam, yeah.
But why did you decide to debut in the Philippines and not KL?
Because that was, because KL, I have to say, it's a bit too mainstream already nowadays. And then, you know, because everyone's like participating in this, and you have to go to the extra mile to get your name out there. And then that was, I had the opportunity back then to do in Manila. Why not?
So, how would you envision KL's Fashion Week?
KL Fashion Week, it's all right. It's okay. I mean, I would participate if I have the time, you know, because recently I was, it clashed with my New York Fashion Week, so I couldn't make it. But then I would participate, but then if I have the chance to go abroad, I would go abroad. I would choose overseas.
But besides Manila, you've also participated in Jakarta Fashion Week as well, right?
Yes.
Now, what was it like showcasing in those countries compared to back here in KL?
I have to say it's a lot more different because even the runway itself is so huge, and even the choreography of the models, how they choreograph the model to walk, not just the usual that you see back and forth like that. They have this like formation, like, you know, they walk like crossing each other and, you know, stuff like that. It was like amazing to me because it was a new experience that I had there. And we couldn't make it here because our runway is like quite small. Their runway is like 2 or 3 times bigger. So you can dance left to right, whatever you want to do there. Like, you know, it's so huge.
So how do you think that KL Fashion Week can improve better?
By being selective a bit, and by, you know, like,
in terms of designers?
Designers, and because it's too mainstream right now, I have to say, I'm so sorry, but it's like everyone can, you have the money, everyone can participate right now. So it's not prestigious like before. Like, you know, like you really, you are there because of your designs, you are there because you really work hard for it. I know now everybody can be designers, you know.
Now let's talk more about your designs and inspirations. Now tell me more about Sarah J.
Actually, I have two kind of separate identity.
Yeah.
Because mine is actually, I love the sexy, elegant look, which is I always wear for myself. But the other one is for my, how to say, for all these VVIPs. So they can't wear sexy. They can't wear, you know, they have functions. You know, they have to wear this kurung modern. But then there is a limitation to that. Because I can't simply give bare bags for them to wear. It's not that they wouldn't wear. It's their, like, their VVIP, so they cannot do that, you know. So I have two. One is for my VVIP clients, and the other one is for youngsters like me, like who loves to dress up, like, daring a bit. So yeah.
And your label also consists of modest wear. You have ready-to-wear, resort wear, bridal wear, and demi-couture as well. Now, that's quite a lot, you know, for you to design. So is it difficult designing for such a large range?
Not really, because I have a team back in my boutique in Taman Tun Dr. Ismail.
How big is your team?
And right now, I think around 11. Mm-hmm. 11. So like I don't sub the garments outside. I do it in house. Mm. So I can monitor, and they will be doing it for me and get it done there.
So you design and your other colleagues, they would sew.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So they're all locally made.
Yeah.
What about your fabric?
Fabric, sometimes I do get it overseas. Mm-hmm. If it's a fashion show thing, I would get it overseas. And, you know, if there is, like, requests upon the fabrics, I would go again. Mm-hmm. But for, like, daily wear, like, for my clients, it's only, like, we have Jekyll, we have, like, Pilates and you know, local malls, fabric malls, you know.
So what kind of fabric do you like to play most with?
I like chiffon, to be honest. But chiffon is very sensitive, so sometimes I change it to other fabrics like satin, you know, because chiffon is really thin, like tissue-like. So you have to really be careful. You have to be really ladylike.
And the flow of it as well is different,
right? But
the
flow is nice, yeah.
I would say that, you know, you're most famous for your Modest Muslimah wear as well, right?
Yeah.
Now, do you take different approaches, you know, to designing your modest wear in comparison to the others?
Modest wear right now, anything can be modest, actually. If you design a trench coat and you wear it with inside, like, turtleneck, you wear it with palazzo, it's already modest.
As long as it's covered.
So modest is like subjective, you know, to people. So, I mean, I don't necessarily have to dress you up, like, in a kurung or in a like, something jubah abaya. You can always cover up with other things, like modern things, like, you know, like I said, turtleneck and a trench coat and a palazzo, it's already covered, it's already modest wear.
Now, what are some of your biggest inspirations, you know, when designing your modest wear?
Inspiration, I have to say, there is limitation to it because it's modest wear. You can't really be really creative about it, because at some point you have to cover it. And it can't be too tight, it can't be, you know, so.
But I think a lot of designers, when it comes to modest wear, you can see a lot of baju kebaya, baju kurung, jubah. But I think it's just the way designers design, you know, and it's just different designs which catches people's eyes.
Or the fabrics, you know, different fabrics. But the thing is, for the modest wear, you don't have, like, different, like from, you see one A and another one Z. There is no, like, totally different. It's always, like, macam baju kurung, repetition, but maybe slightly different design, that's it. It's going to come back to square one.
What about your other pieces, apart from your modest wear? Mm-hmm. So where are your main inspirations for those?
Main inspiration for those, the New York, the recent one, I got it from Putri Gunung Ledang, the movie.
Yes, I was going to talk about that, actually.
Because that one is, to me, it's the inspiration is, like, it symbolizes bravery, love, because she sacrificed for love. You know, she doesn't want this king just because he's a king. So she wanted this normal guy, you know, and she's willing to go against the king for him. And she is willing to settle up in the jungle because she doesn't want to be with the king. So she's brave enough, and she is, in the same time, she is feminine. So that is what I'm trying to portray for this collection. Like, you're strong, but yet you're feminine. Like, you are a strong lady, independent lady, but in the same time, soft.
Now let's walk through the designs for Putri Gunung Ledang.
Mm-hmm.
So what do you have? I see a lot of glitter. Mm-hmm. I see you have your headpiece as well. Mm-hmm. I see a lot of gold.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, tell us more.
For the collection, I have 12 looks. Mm. The eight looks is, like, more to modernize songket, which is, I made the fabric. It's a printed songket motifs. So for the motifs, it's, like, not too strong. So what I did was I enhanced it with diamonds. So it looks like a silver thread from far. And you can see, like, the motifs from afar on the garment. So that is, like, the subtle way of promoting songket. So you can wear it daily on a thinner fabric of songket, on a not so hot fabric, like not so thick fabric that you can't wear every day. So, and then that's for the daily wear.
Mm.
For the expensive one, the exclusive one, is the songket tenun, of course, which is, like, one, what, 4 meters?
High-end,
like,
right?
The high-end one is, like, a few thousand. So the one, because it's so expensive, because actually, I never knew about this until I actually dig up about Songkit. I went to Terengganu for we got sponsors from Atika Songkit, so we went to Atika Songkit factory. I actually saw how they did it. It was really hard, difficult, intricate, and everything else you can say.
And that is why it is expensive, right?
You can only go up to 4 inches a day. And to finish 4 meters, it takes you a month at least for one fabric, like 4 meters. So that's why it's expensive, like few thousands for one.
Now, yeah. when it comes to Songkit, you mentioned earlier that you're modernizing Songkit. So is there a reason why?
Because you see, for the Songkit tenun, it is nice, exclusive, beautiful, you know, but you cannot wear it every day. If you were to wear it every day, people are going to think you're crazy because it's super hot. It's really thick, you know. So it's really nice for occasion. People are still wearing it. I mean, like ordering for weddings, you know, for bridal wear. But for daily wear, who's going to wear it? So that's why I made the approach to make the new era of Songkit, which is you can see Songkit every day at least. So it's printed Songkit. When you do printed Songkit, I mean, like, it's not like the normal printed Songkit, but like the one that you see always, the printed Songkit, is like really busy.
Yeah.
So what I did was, it's like plain, but at the bottom there is a Songkit motif. So you mean you modernize it so that you can wear every day.
But when you talk about everyday Songkit, right, what about the price?
The price is not, it's not expensive, it's affordable, because you see, because it's only printed fabric. It's only printed. It's not Songkit tenun that you, it took you like, it's going to take you like 1 month to finish one fabric. It's only like normal fabrics that you see at stores, you know, like the printed ones. It's like that.
Right. So it's just like batik. People, a lot of designers are trying to revolutionize batik for it to be an everyday wear. Yes. So you're doing the same for Songkit.
Yeah, because I don't want to bring, because that's what I chose for New York, because I don't want to bring Masale to Masale. I want to bring like Malaysian to Masale.
So what was the response like since you've showcased at New York, right?
It was overwhelming because they really like, because I did a montage on how to do the Songkit. They really, because you know sometimes Chanel and whatnot, they actually show how behind the scene they do it. So that's what I did, and they were really impressed by how we actually do the fabric. So they were really how is this, like, surprised that we have our own fabrics here. You have to say, like, Songkit is our Malaysian fabric that other places don't. Maybe Indonesia they do have, but we have our own motifs and our own style.
Being proud of your own country is the best, right?
Yes, yes.
Now, because you showcased, you know, in so many different countries, have you had to cater your collections to appeal to the crowd there?
The crowd there, because for Manila and Jakarta is more to branding, but for New York, I have a few inquiries already. Emails from them asking about the Songkit thing. So we'll see how it goes. Like, it's still ongoing because I just got back, so still jet lag. So we'll see how we're gonna proceed with that.
Songkit in Jakarta is quite big as well, right?
It's quite big, but their Songkit is quite different from us.
How different?
Like the thread, the motifs, especially the motifs, like, it's like quite different from us. And then there are Songkit from Vietnam. Even Vietnam, they have their own Songkit. I mean, I don't know what they call it, but
I can never differentiate.
But our Songkit is like using gold thread, using silver thread.
You mean our Songkit?
Yeah. So it's quite different from others. And especially our motifs, we are more on flora and fauna motifs. So
what about Jakarta?
Jakarta, their motifs are like, small and very repetitions. Like repetition of small ones and very super busy. Ours like busy, theirs like super, super busy.
Right.
Like you can see, I get it, it's Songkit.
This is the first that I hear.
Okay.
Now, what are some of the big differences, you know, you see in the fashion overseas and fashion in KL?
Fashion overseas is like, I am, how to say, like locally, if we do the fashion, we actually, okay, this is another fashion designer, this is another label, this is another brand, okay, fine. But over there, overseas, I like it because of the exposure.
Right.
And another thing is, I am even impressed with another designer. Like, oh my God, that is so beautiful. Like, you know, you see other designers like bringing other things from all parts of the world, like, you know, oh my God, that is so nice. You know, like, you're impressed by other designers as well.
I understand that, you know, Songkit fabric, you know, isn't always the easiest fabric to style and work with.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I always have trouble styling, but my colleagues who are into Songkit and batik, they always tell me that when you wear a kebaya, you can mix and match anything. So how did you incorporate it tastefully into your designs?
Because I mix it with different fabrics. I don't just plainly make it all of it head to toe songket. So I mix with other fabrics as well. So it looks really like subtle. It doesn't look like really too much of songket going on there.
So, but it's not full songket, right?
No. Like let's say if the top is songket, so the bottom I will use chiffon and stuff like that. So I mixed it. So it doesn't look like really too much. But if it's too much of songket, it's so songket. So
what about colours?
Colours, you can't do anything about it because songket is known for bold colours and known for like bright colours. I mean, maybe now they are maybe turning into like pastels a bit, but then
I was told clashing colours are the best.
Yeah, clashing colours. But even for my last look, the last piece that like with the big headgears, like the traditional headgears, I had maroon.
Right.
My collection was like all dusty colours, but then my last look is like maroon because I just want to make it stand out.
Now that you know you've done your New York Fashion Week, you know, everything's done. So what's next? Do you have any other Fashion Week or any upcoming collections?
I do. I'm still planning. Actually, I'm not a good planner. I'm sort of like last minute
kind
of person. Talking
about not a good planner and you are in New York? Really?
Yeah, but yeah, it's like I mean, New York, at first, last few months, I was like, okay, la la la, until August, I actually planned for it. It was like really, really last minute. I mean, like I had the idea of going participating in this since May and April. I mean, May or April. But I was just you know, doing something else until last August. We had 1 month. We had crazy month. And that's what I meant by really last minute. So I can't really like now. I can't really like, oh, I'm gonna participate in this or that.
Just rest first.
But I don't know because there is Malaysian Fashion Week this November, I think. November or October. I got emails from them, but I still have to think about it because we already spent a huge amount for New York Fashion Week. So maybe we need a rest. So maybe next year. So I'll think about it.
Now, you've come so far in such a short amount of time, Sarah. Do you have any big plans for Sarah J?
I do. For next year, I have plans for... I'm planning to come up with ready-to-wear.
Right.
And I already actually had ready-to-wear for kids' wear, actually.
Oh, okay.
Last Raya. But it was... There is a hiccup because it was my first time. There was a hiccup like with the factory, with everything else. So because it was... You know, first timer. So it went idle, but I already have the stock. But it went idle. Maybe I would sell it again during next Raya because we really managed to sell this Raya because it already overdue, like, you know, past the timeline.
Now, lastly, you know, where can our listeners find you?
You can find me on Instagram at Sarah Jamaluddin, SarahJamaluddin official. Or www.sarahjamaluddin, single D, yeah, no double D, .com.
After the break, get ready for a blast from the past as Emma Chung Johnston, managing editor of Elle Malaysia, talks eclectic, unconventional style with statement earrings. But before that, here's Rise by Solange, played at Mariam Nasirzadeh's Fall Winter 2017 in New York. This is Style File, and I'm Adeline Chung on BFM 89.9.
Five-hour tea with caffeine from green tea leaves. It's delicious, energizing, and comes in three amazing flavors. With zero sugar and 4 calories, it fits your life. With its compact size and portability, it goes where you go. To the campsite, the hiking trail, the beach, without weighing you down. Five-hour tea, caffeine from green tea leaves. Release your natural side from the makers of Five-Hour Energy. For more information, visit 5hourenergy.com. Try Five-Hour Tea today. Look for Five-Hour Tea at your local Circle K store.
FM 89.9 is Adeline Chung on Style File. Next up, Emma Chung Johnston of Elle Malaysia guides us through some of the best ways to pair your outfits with statement earrings. more of eclectic rather than, you know, traditional styles. So tell me more about statement earrings, Emma.
So statement earrings are not anything new. I know they come around every few years. Mm-hmm. And actually, this trend's not like necessarily a 2017 special, but we have been seeing a lot more people wearing really big statement earrings. And I think what makes it slightly different this season is that on the autumn-winter runways, we saw a lot of quite kind of sculptural statement earrings, a lot of metal,
right?
A lot of kind of like organic shapes and things like that. So on the one hand, you do still see like those big kind of tassel earrings and beads and really ornate kind of retro style earrings. But mm-hmm. then also, I think moving into the next part of the year, it's going to be a lot of metal and kind of more artistic sculptural shapes.
When it comes to color, I know off-white earrings, extremely long off-white earrings are in trend right now. Mm-hmm. But what do you think of it? Is it easier to match?
The thing with statement earrings is that I think they look the best when they don't really match. You know, it's very hard to, if you specifically try and match your earrings to your outfit, it can look a bit too coordinated. It can be too twee.
Try to make it pop up and try to make it bold, right?
So the best is when they stand out or kind of clash a little bit with your outfit.
You mentioned clashing with your outfit. So you want to give us some ideas on how to match or clash with your outfit that makes it bold?
So I think that if you think in terms of, so like the earrings that I mentioned earlier, like so the quite sculptural metallic mm-hmm. ones, pairing them with something slightly unexpected, so softer fabrics, so like knits or even like shirt, like quite crisp shirts or shirt dresses or tailoring, things that are a bit more unexpected. So you kind of play with like different textures and colours that makes them stand out a bit more. The thing was like, yeah, so it, I mean, at the end of the day, it's like two sheets of metal hanging from your ears are not going to match anything really. So it's kind of like you should just throw them on with whatever you've got.
What about the best runways you've seen so far?
Prabal Gurung did these kind of big metallic earrings that were like dipped in paint, which were quite cool. And specific to that kind of metal earring I was talking about, Lueve did mm-hmm. some metal earrings as well. They were kind of like these fake, like almost like masks. And of course, like Marnie always does these really great statement earrings.
Marnie has really good earrings.
Yeah. So, and then on the high street, you know, like H&M and Monkey, it's really easy to find good statement earrings there.
So how wrong can it be? I mean, in terms of like, you mentioned when it comes to clashing, it would fit best, but what are the don'ts when it comes to statement earrings?
I think when you've got statement earrings on, you don't need to wear a lot of other jewellery. So I think I would maybe skip a necklace. If you want to wear a necklace, make it something quite simple.
Fine.
But basically just try and keep the focus on your earrings rather than your other accessories that you really don't need a lot else going on.
So would you invest in a statement earring?
It's quite hard to say. I personally wouldn't. Because I don't think I look very good in earrings. So I don't wear them very often.
Why?
I don't know. I just like something to do with my face shape. I think also earrings, yeah, it does have a lot to do with your face shape and how it kind of works with like how you wear your hair, kind of like the structure of your face. So actually in terms of like if you find a pair that looks really great, I think it's probably, and you know, you can see yourself wearing them for many years to come, then I think it's worth investing in. But also you can get so many cheap versions.
Try it on first, right?
So yeah, I mean, and it's just a fun trend, so you can pick up some cheap ones first.
Interestingly, you mentioned face shape. So what kind of face shape would fit statement earrings?
Having said that, I do believe that you should just wear whatever you want, regardless of whether it looks good on you.
Just give it a try.
But no, I mean, there are kind of like a few rules that you don't necessarily have to follow, but things like, depending on the shape of the, like if the earrings are, like, you know, if you have like a quite a round face, some people would say like don't necessarily wear like big round circular earrings and things like that.
Make it rounder, right?
Yeah, but I mean, again, you know, it really just shouldn't matter. You should just wear what you want.
And that was this week's episode of Stylefile. If you've missed any part of the show, catch up with the podcast on www.bfm.my/stylefile and give us some love on our Facebook page, Stylefile on BFM 89.9. You can also listen to us on the go by downloading our BFM app. It is available on Google Play and the App Store. Now I'm going to leave you with a track by Chaka Khan with I'm Every Woman, played at Chromet for Winter 2017 in New York. This has been Stylefile, and I'm Adeline Chung on BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.
big at Banana Republic Factory with 60% off the entire store. Our biggest sale of the year. Plus, take an extra 50% off clearance. Stock up on dresses, shirts, and shorts under $15. Find your nearest store or shop online only at Banana Republic Factory.